From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of December 2011. Merry Christmas. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. In agricultural news, Japan has halted beef imports from the United States-based JBS Swift Packing Company. The CME Group is in discussions with Chinese futures regulators about a pilot trading program, and analysts are predicting Ukraine will export more than 20 million tons of grain next season. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. As we close out our program, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. And along the way, I'll recite 'Twas the Night Before Christmas right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed in the wheat pit. The nearby March at 6:22 up a quarter, the May down a half, and July up a quarter at 6:55 and a half. A July hard red in Kansas City at $6.91 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter for the day. March corn futures 2 cents higher, $6.19 and a half. The May at 6:28 up a penny and 3 quarters. July 6:34 up 1 and 3 quarters. September at $5.93 up a penny and a half. And December corn $5.69 up 2.5 cents. The March of next year at $5.81 and a quarter up 2.5 cents. January beans at $11.63, 3/4 of a cent higher. The March at $11.72 and a half up 3 quarters. May futures from the bean pit, $11.82 and a quarter, up a quarter. July at $11.92, a half higher. And next year's November, $11.79 a bushel, 3/4 of a cent higher for the new crop soybeans. Bean meal, January contract at $2.97, down $1.40. Bean oil at $50.96, 51 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the December at $124.30, up $1.15 a 100 pounds. February at $124.32 and a half, 87 and a half cents higher. January feeder cattle at $147.62 and a half, up 75 cents. The March gained 80 to settle at $150.45, that is. And lean hogs at $85.85, up $1.30. April at $88.97 and a half, $1.02 and a half higher. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil, $99.78 a barrel, up 25 cents. Ethanol at $2.18 and a half, that's up a penny and 2 tenths. And natural gas at $3.11 and 2 tenths of a cent, down 5 and 7 tenths of a cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 6 tenths of a cent lower to settle at $2.90 and a tenth of a cent. That's actually a trading price, not a settlement price. And the gold futures at $1,604.70 an ounce, down $4.20. The Dow now just about 90 points higher at 12,259, and the dollar at 79.9 is just about unchanged on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, still mostly sunny skies, a high of 37, with a west wind at 5 to 8. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 24. Saturday, sunny, a high of 40. A west-southwest wind at 3 to 8. And Saturday night, mostly clear, and a low of 27 on Christmas Eve. West-southwest winds at about 7 miles an hour. For Christmas Day on Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 43 degrees in the area, with a west wind at 8 to 15, gusting all the way to 20. And then on Sunday night, mostly clear and a low of 25 degrees. Mostly sunny on Monday, a high of 42. Monday night, mostly clear, a low of 33. Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high of 41 degrees. And on Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 26. Wednesday night, mostly sunny. Wednesday day, that is, mostly sunny, high near 42 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 29. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high near 43 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line now with us for a Friday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello, Todd. Merry Christmas to you and all the loyal listeners of WILL Radio.
Well, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, and a Happy New Year. I know I'll talk to you again next Friday, so we'll do the same one more time at that point. Why don't you take me through the week this week and tell me about the changes in the marketplace. Not much different today, but if you look at the weekly trade, corn was up 36.5 cents in the nearby contract, December up 21.
Yeah, we had a nice week from a standpoint of percentage gains as well. Wheat was up about 8.5%, corn up about 8.5%, beans up over 15% for the week. I think the start of the week allowed for, you know, something that we talked about on Commodity Week at length last week about maybe the potential for terribly oversold technicals combined with some weather and light volume to allow the market to find a support level and some short covering. And that's what we saw in the beginning of the week. We found additional support from some good news out of Europe in terms of the European Central Bank issuing out a lot of debt and potential loans to the EU banks, a record amount is what they took in. And then middle of the week, we got some good demand news. Not only did we hear that China, yes, they were taking less of our beans in November, but as a total, their November total as a whole was actually up, and I think the second highest for that month of November. So that was good demand news, and then that was followed with even better demand news with weekly export sales for both corn and beans beating trade estimates, and we got just under 1 million metric tons of corn. And I think that did a lot in solidifying the rally and allowing the trade to keep the prices pinned up here towards the upper end of the weekly range as we headed into the holiday trade, because trade did get thinner and thinner and thinner based upon the contacts I spoke with today and yesterday. But no one really wanted to sell their longs because we had the demand underneath us, and obviously the weather continued to promote the idea that it was a split scenario where maybe southern Brazil and the bean areas down there would get some rains, but Argentina's not looking at much relief at all. And I think it's worth noting here, Todd, that we've talked a lot about soybeans and a lot about the weather in southern Brazil, but in Argentina, the numbers that I'm looking at from some other private contacts is that about 60% of the total crop, which was planted in September and October, will be pollinating this month of December. And so it's a very, very critical time period for the pollination. Buenos Aires and Cordoba are the two biggest provinces for Argentine maize, and those are two of the hardest hit areas. So I think that's probably where the trade going into the end of this week probably saw the demand underpinning, end users coming back to the table because of the weather, but both of those worked in conjunction with one another.
How does Argentina compare in the export market to the United States, for instance, in the number of bushels or percentage or how big or small it might be in the export marketplace? And is it simply that it's the last bushel or marginal exporter for corn to the world?
No. In fact, they're number one or number two. They're usually second only to us, and so they are the king of the corn export market when we are not. And so I think that's where this week's trade, I guess if I had to pin it down, I'd say this week's trade and the percentage gains, that's why I brought that up, is right. I think they were very, very keyed in on the soybean potential losses because of Rio Grande do Sul, because of Paraguay, and because of Mato Grosso, major states for soybeans. But I don't think we really played a lot of the corn rally potential, and especially given that if the weather stays dry another week. Maybe part of that is because we did start to see some basis slipping on Thursday's trade in the cash corn market here in the interior. So I suspect we did let some cash flow corn go. Producers did let some go in the interior. But that's where the export market was there to help pin up and underpin the markets. But maybe the weaker basis on Thursday and a slack cash market going into the holiday maybe took the focus away from corn. But I think when we come back next week, we can't underplay the corn potential given that Argentina is such a big player.
Right, and to underpin that just a bit, we did move, as we mentioned earlier, 36.5 cents higher in the nearby corn, 21 in December. Beans up just 33 and 28.5 in the January and November. So by comparison, corn moved a great deal compared to the soybean.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is where I think later in the week I started to hear more and more about the January report USDA is going to be coming out with. And right before I took your call, I was talking to a Newswire contact, and he asked me my opinion about a 300 million bushel bean carryover on USDA's January report, because that's what he's starting to hear. Well, I'd heard that from other people, too, this week. I think it's way too early to start talking that way, because this weather, like we talked about on Commodity Week, it very well may shift back the origin from South American beans and South American corn and give us a very good look at maybe improving these exports dramatically in the next 60 days, depending on what the weather's going to be in the next 10 days. So I think it's a little bit early for USDA or anybody else to say we're going up to a 300 million bushel carryover in beans, but maybe that caught some traction and caught some attention by some of the traders late in the week here.
Kind of fun to be back in the fundamentals as opposed to some of the outside markets. Europe's not been playing a great role this week in the marketplace, has it?
No, everybody's on pins and needles for the first of next year. Italy has got about $574 billion worth of debt that they've got to roll over, and my understanding is that's got to happen in the first 60 or 70 days of 2012, and so that's going to be the big 800-pound gorilla in the room, so to speak, and if the Italian bond yields go over 7% again, we could find ourselves back in trading those macro fundamentals of deflation, strong dollar, loss of Chinese growth, so on and so forth. So that's something probably is still another week or 10 days off. I would say that issue is probably coupled pretty closely with the USDA report. I think on January 10th is the USDA report. I think those two probably will coincide with one another at about the same time.
And the other thing is, speaking of the dollar, it's above 80 again, and it has been a couple of times. It's been showing strength. Will that limit the export market for U.S. commodities at all?
I think that's where the trade was probably able to take its focus away from that, and the quick answer is no, because what we have is a supply issue now boiling in South America. If you would get surprise rainfalls and you'd see Argentina and southern Brazil come through with a really nice clip of rain and really take care of their near-term needs and avert a potential crisis down there in their production, then I think the trade would refocus their attention back on an $80.
Did you get the hogs and pigs report? You have it in front of you for
the
afternoon?
Yeah, we sure did. The breeding inventory numbers were a little bit more supportive. They didn't come in at that 101 level. They were below 101. And then the 180-pound-plus numbers were friendly as well, a little bit lighter, coming in a little bit over 100%. The trade guesses were over that, about 101.3%. So we noticed after that midday report came out, the hogs started to make some new highs. I suspect that's because the trade is realizing that both red meat, both beef, pork, and even poultry to a lesser degree, we're going to have relatively tight supplies as we head into 2012, and so they're going to probably try and keep a premium in those markets.
Yeah, so compared to last year, what, we have 29 million head, up 2% from September to November, farrowing at 2.89 million head. That's up slightly from last year. The sows farrowing during this quarter, what, represented 50% of the breeding herd. And this number is kind of fun. The average pig-sized litter was a record high at 10.02 pigs per sow.
Yeah, and it makes sense why maybe the sows are being let go of. It just continues on that path of a very strong efficiency. I have noted, though, from some clients here in the Midwest that feeder pig prices are starting to really skyrocket again. So I think maybe we're starting to find that medium ground where we're not letting go of as many sows that we've let go of those. Now we're maybe starting to want to repopulate and get some feeder pigs. So that goes back to your currencies again, too, because most of our feeder pigs will be coming from Canada. We'll have to watch that U.S. dollar-Canadian dollar currency exchange rate here as we get into the 1st of January. That may determine a lot of our spring prices for the hog complex.
Just maybe a minute or so left. Anything that you'd like producers to know that they ought to be doing with either corn, soybeans, wheat, any of the other crops that you follow?
I did go ahead and make a recommendation earlier this week, and I feel real good about doing it, Todd, from a standpoint of getting a little bit of 2012 beans sold with maybe a 15 to 20% increment. I'm coming back immediately and buying that back with March calls because it's weather-related, and I won't have those calls in place after the first of the year if we don't have a continued dry spell going on in either southern Brazil and Argentina. But when I looked at the February average prices for the last 6 years, and you know that's a pretty tight window, it's a very narrow window and very recent window, but when I looked at the February prices for crop insurance for Dease corn and November beans, they were quite contrasting. The November beans were able to not take out oftentimes their highs made in January and February, whereas the corn was able to do that. And I think that makes sense again in 2012 in case there's any planting delays with corn. So I see this rally here, this weather potential continuing on and fueling the idea that lost production in South America may give us one of our better selling opportunities for beans until we get all the way to next August.
Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too, and Merry Christmas. That is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's agricultural news.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, Japan halted beef imports from a U.S. packing plant after finding material prohibited under rules to control the risk of mad cow disease, the 15th confirmed violation by U.S. beef suppliers since Tokyo last resumed imports in July of 2006, came as Japan's Food Safety Commission, upon request from the Health Ministry, is scheduled to start reviewing the existing import rules on U.S. and Canadian beef. The inclusion of vertebrae in a cargo checked on December 19th resulted in Japan's halting of beef imports from the Grand Island plant of JBS Swift & Company in Nebraska. Approval by Japan's food safety watchdog would be the final hurdle to relaxing the current restrictions. Japan allows imports of beef only from cattle aged 20 months or younger and excludes parts considered as risky. CME is discussing a pilot project to allow Chinese companies to be involved in futures markets overseas. China Daily reported earlier this month that CME was in talks with the China Securities Regulatory Commission about starting a pilot overseas futures trading business that would allow some futures companies from China to buy and sell futures on the Chicago-based International Exchange. The plan is for three futures companies to have offices overseas at the beginning, allowing their clients to trade offshore futures if the project is approved by CSRC. Ukraine exported about 1.4 million tons of grain, mostly corn, between December 1st and December 23rd. That, according to Ukrainian analysts, Ukraine exported corn mostly to Egypt, Spain, and Iran. Ukraine plans to harvest 55 million tons of grain in 2011 and export 20 to 23 million tons in the 2011-12 season. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. consumer spending rose less than expected in November. Consumer spending ticked up 0.1% after rising by the same margin in October. Economists had expected spending to rise 0.3% last month. A core inflation measure, which strips out food and energy costs, edged up 0.1% last month after a similar gain in October. In the 12 months through November, core PCE rose 1.7% after increasing 1.7% in September. The Federal Reserve would like this measure close to 2%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. He and I wish you the merriest of Christmases and look forward to talking to you next week and in the brand new year. Speaking of which, I'll be on the road about the second and third week of January with Corn and Soybean Classic Series. That's our crop sciences series from the U of I, and we'll visit 7 sites around the state. We might be coming to a city near you, maybe a town. If you'd like to drop by and see us, you can check all the details out at the CropSciConferences.com website. That's CropSciConferences.com for the Corn and Soybean Classic.
The Night Before Christmas, a poem by Clement Moore. "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mom in her kerchief and I in my cap, well, we'd just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn, there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter, and away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash, and the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to the objects below, when what to my wondering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all, as dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle mounted the sky, so up to the house of the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling I heard on the roof, the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed, all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he'd flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler, just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth, it was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin, well, that was as white as snow. The stump of the pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye, a twist of his head, soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. And then he turned with a jerk, and laying his finger beside his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
It's National Pfeffernuss Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1675, Charles II of England issued a proclamation suppressing coffee houses. The public response was so negative that he revoked it on January 8th of 1676. In part, the proclamation declared, whereas it is most apparent that the multitude of coffee houses of late years set up and kept within this kingdom, and the great resort of idle and disaffected persons to them, have produced very evil and dangerous effects, His Majesty hath thought it fit and necessary that the said coffee houses be, for the future, put down and suppressed. In 1901, Sir Joseph Henry Gilbert died, an English chemist. He is the co-inventor of superphosphate fertilizer. Superphosphate is a compound produced by treating rock phosphate with sulfuric acid, phosphorus acid, or a mixture of the two. In 1893, Sir John Bennett Laws opened the first fertilizer factory, thus initiating the artificial fertilizer industry. The following year, Gilbert joined him, and they began a collaboration lasting more than half a century. And in 1982, the Environmental Protection Agency announced it had found dangerous levels of dioxin in Times Beach, Missouri. Eventually, the EPA purchased the town for $32 billion, quarantined the site, and spent $110 million for cleanup. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is Friday, December the 23rd. State climatologist located at the Prairie Research Center at the Illinois State Water Survey with us this afternoon to take up the forecast. Thanks, Jim Angel, for being on hand for us today. Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Todd.
Take a look at the weekend forecast for me, please.
Well, it's got some great news. Unless you like snow, it's you look at the forecast, of course, today it's high of 37, and low tonight down to 23, and tomorrow it's 40 degrees and sunshine here in Champaign-Urbana. By Saturday night down to 28, still clear. Christmas Day, clear, high of 43, and Christmas night, a low of 25. So it's kind of this continuation as we go on into next week of highs around the 40-degree mark and lows in the 20s and low 30s there with lots of sunshine. So no snow in the forecast. Doesn't look like we're going to get that white Christmas, but it'll be very mild.
Yeah, those mild temperatures have been with us throughout the entire month of December. In fact, we're running above normal for our temps, I think, for the month, aren't we?
That's right. We are. For December so far, we're almost 5 degrees above average. We've had about 2.9 inches of precipitation, so we're pretty close to average on the liquid side, but certainly much above normal in terms of temperatures, and very little snowfall. There's been a little bit of snow in the northern part of the state, about 1 to 2 inches when you get north of I-80. Here in central Illinois, we've only gotten a few tenths here and there. In Champaign-Urbana, we've officially gotten only 0.3 inches for the month. You know, last year, by December, we'd already had 20 inches of snow on the ground, and we're already getting tired of it. So it's been a big contrast to this year.
Last year was unusual. This year is unusual. What's about normal for us in our part of the world?
You know, it's hard to remember what normal looks like with these kinds of numbers floating around. You know, normals for us this time of year, highs in about the mid to upper 30s and lows down in the teens and 20s would be normal for us. So we have been running a little on the warm side at the moment, and the forecast for next week and the week after that calls for the mild weather to continue with above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation.
Jim, thanks so much, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too, Todd.
Jim Angel is the Illinois State climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey in the Prairie Research Center. Joins us here on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Fact helps us to wrap it up for the day. Don't forget to visit our website. We'll post Commodity Week not too long from right now. In the afternoon, Daryl Good will be on the program to talk about plateaus and pricing. We'll also talk with Bruce Sherrick and Gary Schnittke about stress testing your farm and what it might mean for net income in different pricing levels next year, along with what crop insurance decisions might look like in February and how some of the crop insurance program has changed, including the re-rating and, of course, the brand new trend-adjusted APH. You have a great Christmas weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.